Amen. If you're in the habit of taking notes, today's a good day to do it. If you're not in the habit, it's still a good day to do it. You just made it. I was just closing the door. It was close. Let's go, Davenport. Hurry up, hurry up. All right. Now we feel secure. It's all yours. Free. What a deal. Those of you who are memorizing verses with us, you memorized a verse today that is pretty familiar. And all of these first 11 verses come from a specific category. Anybody know what the category is? You don't really have to memorize the category. It's on the top of the card, by the way, if you happen to have a card with you. Live the new life. Very good. If all else fails, read the instructions. Live the new life. And this week's verse and next week's deal with the same topic. And it deals with something that is essential to living the new life. If you don't have this settled in your heart, you will never be what God wants you to be. Now, I know for many of you, I am per se preaching to the choir, but I know as I studied and was reminded of the truths that we're going to talk about this morning, I wanted to shout and take a few laps around the living room. I mean, it's just exciting to know what God has done for us. And the verse for today, of course, is 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. If you know that verse, say that with me. Here's the reference. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for... That was awesome. Let's try it again. Good. You did well. I just dropped out and it all kind of confused it. Here we go again. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture and is profitable for... Very good. Most of you end at the same time. That's exciting. Now, the verse for next week is Joshua 1:8, which deals with the very same topic. So, this morning, I want to take our time and talk to you about the sufficiency of Scripture. The sufficiency of Scripture. Every one of us has spiritual needs. Every one of us know people who have spiritual needs. And we're living in a day, sad to say, that many pastors, many churches have decided that the Word of God is not sufficient. That we have to turn to psychology. And we have to turn to entertainment. And we have to turn to sociology and all kinds of things. And famous people who have charismatic personalities. And all these special things to meet man's needs. And I want to remind you this morning, you don't need any of that. If you want to be what God wants you to be, this is all you need. God has given you a sufficient book to meet every need. And that's what Psalm 19 talks about. Now, when you open Psalm 19, it talks about that the heavens declare the glory of God. The creation itself tells us about God. But I really don't want to emphasize that this morning. I'm going to go down to verse 7. And we see six different lines with six different descriptions of the Word of God, six different names of God, and six different things that the Word of God does. So again, I encourage you this morning, if you can, to take notes. I think it'll be helpful to you and to remember what we are looking at this morning. So number one, the record of the Bible's sufficiency. The record of the Bible's sufficiency. And again, there are six of these. They're found in verse 7 through verse 9. Let me read. In fact, let's read those together out loud. We did so well with the verse. I think we can do that, okay? We'll read it out loud. Just verse 7 through verse 9. Here we go. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. All right, so again, As we read through that, you saw six different titles for the Word of God, six different names of God, six different descriptions of the Word of God, and six different things that the Word of God will do. Let's look at those. Number one, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Now, the word perfect, of course, the word law, you know that. Divine instruction. This is God's manual for living. This is it right here. This is God's law. And it says it is perfect. Now, it is perfect in that there are no errors. But this is really talking about its comprehensive nature. It is complete. It is finished. It is sufficient. It is enough. One man said it is so complete that it covers comprehensively all aspects of a matter. The Word of God that you hold in your hand lacks nothing. Years ago, before she was my wife, we had, I don't know why we were in Salt Lake, but my best friend and his fiance and my wife, or wife-to-be, we must have been driving from Denver to Idaho, I'm not sure, and we stopped in at the Mormon Visitor Center, and we were standing there, and one of the guides came up and said, "Wouldn't you men like for these women to be your wives forever?" Well, and Amelia, my best friend's fiance, said, "Well, the Bible says we're like the angels in heaven. There's no one given in marriage." And immediately, though the Mormons would tell you they believe the Bible, guess what he did? Well, the Book of Mormon says, when push comes to shove, what is the authority in the Mormon Church? Book of Mormon. In the Catholic Church, they have a Bible, but when push comes to shove, their authority is tradition and who else? The Pope. When the Pope speaks ex cathedra from the chair, whatever he says is gospel. It's Bible. It's amazing. Every religion, every false religion, has another book, don't they? Now look, folks, you don't need another book. You don't need some ecstatic experience. What you need to be what God wants you to be is found in the pages of this book. It is complete. The law of the Lord is perfect. It is complete. And you know what it does? Look what the next phrase, or the end of that phrase, it converts the soul, it changes the soul, it restores it, it revives it, it refreshes it. This book, folks, is sufficient for conversion, for transformation, for restoration, for spiritual birth, for growth to perfection. It's got it all. It's got it all. It is complete. It's all you need. 1 Peter 1:23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible by the what? Word of God that liveth forever. How do you get saved? It's interesting. Where did I hear this? I was talking to Diane about one of the young men that she dealt with, and he was 11 in Bible school, and he said, "Well, one of my buddies, you know, when he got saved, what was he had? He had this, an angel came into his heart." Really? Okay. And then he said, another of my buddies, when he got saved, his heart started beating real fast. Okay. So he was looking for a feeling, you know. He had to have something really strange had to happen. Well, no, you just need to believe what the Bible says and do what it says, and you'll be converted. And if you want to grow as a Christian, if you'll get in the Word of God and do what it says, you will grow. It will change you. It will change your soul. Of course, one of my favorite verses, 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with an open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed from glory to glory. We're changed into His image. What? By the Word of God. You say, "Gary, I want to be right with God." This is all you need. Now, I'm not against seminars and retreats and different things but I tell you, folks, just to be honest with you, it's right here. I can save you a lot of money. God has given you all you need. It is sufficient for your needs. It is complete. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. So, number one, we see the Word of God is complete. Let's look at the next phrase. Number two, it says, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Now, what's a testimony? Does anybody know? What's that? All right, so you're talking about what happened to you, right? You're testifying about what you saw or what happened, or you're testifying about yourself. What is this book? The testimony of the Lord. What does that mean? This is God's witness of himself. You say, boy, I'd really like to know what God is like. This is God's witness. The testimony of the Lord. If you want to know what God is like, here it is. The testimony of the Lord. It's right here, and you've got it in your hands, and it is sure making wise the simple. Now, there's some couple of neat words there. And it says, look, this word is sure. It's unmistakable. It's trustworthy. It's reliable. Aren't you glad that God doesn't ever change? He said, for I am the Lord. I change. What if God changed? You know, I'm a little bored up here. I think I'm just going to change something today. I think I'll quit being faithful. I just think I'll quit loving people. I'll just quit being holy. No, he doesn't change. And folks, his word does not change. And it says, forever, O Lord, is thy word settled in heaven. And folks, it is something that is sure. It is something you can bank on. And look what it does. It makes wise the simple. Now, what does it mean to be simple? Really interesting. Yes, sir. Well, yes and no. Hang on before you admit to that, okay? Because a simple person in the original, it means an open door. If you ever talk to somebody who says, I'm open-minded, let me ask you a question. This is not a trick question. Is it good or how many think it's good to be open-minded? I think it's bad to be open-minded. I'm not open-minded. And the idea is an open door, all right? He said, the simple-minded, they're like an open door. It comes in, and it goes out, and whatever comes in, and they just let it come in. It doesn't matter. It goes out. Hey, I'm closed-minded. I am narrow. I will admit it. And here's what I'm narrow about. Say, well, I'm, and that was kind of a trick question. If you raise your hand, don't feel bad. You can get out from underneath the chair now. He says, look, God's word. Yeah, and by the way, Jim, just to help you here, Proverbs calls this kind of person naive, undiscerning, inexperienced, and a fool. So that's why I just wanted you not to admit to that at this point, okay? Because you're not. He said, look, and by the way, isn't it amazing how some of the smartest people in the world can be so stupid? I mean, you read the news and you hear what these people say, and you think, how can you be so dumb? Well, there's a reason. They've rejected the Word of God. They've rejected God's witness. And so when you do that, folks, when you reject the testimony of the Lord, you are simple. You're open. You've got an open door, you know, and you need to shut it, brother, okay? And he said, look, these people that are like this, the Bible, the testimony of the Lord is sure, and it makes wise the simple. Makes wise the simple. Now, again, this is not intellectual knowing lots of stuff, but it's the ability to make right choices. And every one of you know people, and they make choices, and you think, what are you doing? How can you make such a stupid choice? And it's real simple. They've rejected the Word of God. Listen, if you want to be someone who is wise, it's real easy. Get in the book. Get in the book. So we see the Word of God, it's complete. Number two, it is certain. It is certain. Number three, verse 8. The statutes of the Lord are right. Number three, the Bible is correct. It is correct. It is complete. It is certain. It is correct. By the way, you'll notice these all start with C. So anytime you hear a C, that's probably the next point, all right? It is correct. The statutes. We have statutes, don't we? There's statutes about how fast you can drive and which side of the road you drive on. There's all kinds of statutes. There's laws. There's divine principles. And he said, look, when you read the Word of God, these statutes, these principles, they are right. They will get you on the right path. We're living in a GPS day. How many have had your GPS just lead you a totally wrong place? Yeah, every one of us has. And then I don't think they say recalculating anymore. I think they've gotten rid of that because it became such a big joke. Does your GPS still say that? Recalculating. You are lost. You will never get there. You will die. Aren't you glad that you never read the Word of God and you get to a point and it says, oh, recalculating. We were wrong about that. Recalculating. Oh, we were wrong about that. Nah. Testimony of the Lord. The statutes, they're right. They're right. You say, boy, I just want to know what's right. Well, quit listening to the world, turn off the TV, and read the Word of God, and you're going to find out what is right. It's going to lead you on the right path. Now, this is really logical. If you go down the right path and you do what's right, what are you going to have in your life? Success? What else? Peace? What? Very good. And that's in the verse. You redeemed yourself, Jim. Very good. It rejoices the heart. Now, what does the devil say? No. If you really want to be happy, don't do what the Bible says. Go over here and do this. And every time you do it, what do you find? Misery. Jim, that's twice, buddy. Good. You can move up a row if you want to. You're doing well. All right, good. All right. But if you'll do what the Bible says, find out what it says, it is right, and you do it, guess what happens? It brings rejoicing in the heart. You've experienced that, haven't you? You have a decision to make, and you find what the Word of God says, and you do it. And boy, the next couple days, it's like, woo, this is good stuff, this is great. And you've experienced the other too, haven't you? And I have too. We know what the Word of God says, and we say no to it, and the next couple days is, what in the world is wrong with me? The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. They are correct. Let's go to the next one. We're moving quickly. It says in verse 8, end of the verse there, the commandment of the Lord is pure or clear, enlightening the eyes. The commandment of the Lord. So what is a commandment? What's that?
Orders.
Okay. What did Ted Turner call the Ten Commandments? Do you remember that? The Ten Suggestions. Yeah, I think we should call these the Ten Suggestions. Poor Ted. He's going to have a rude wake-up call, isn't he? These are God's commandments. These are God's divine mandates. And he says they are pure, which really means they are simple. They are clear. They're easy to see. They give clear direction. Now, it doesn't mean every passage in Scripture is easy. That's not what it means. But the commandments of God are pretty clear. Isn't it amazing the confusion in the world? Am I a guy or am I a girl? Thank you. I really... That was hypothetical, but thank you. I appreciate that. Appreciate your vote of confidence. Good. Isn't it amazing that people are going through life and they don't know what they are? And the Bible is pretty clear about that, doesn't it? He created them male and female. I mean, you're one or the other. Well, I just don't know. Think of homosexuality. All the confusion. Let me ask, is the Bible clear about that? Yes, it is clear about that. What are some other commandments the Bible is clear about? Marriage. The Bible is very clear about marriage. Sure, what else? Steal. Is the Bible still about, or is it still about clearing? Is it clear about stealing? Sure it is. And lying, and cheating, and whatever. It's clear. Now, the world says, well, you know, why do they say that? Because they don't want to do it. Because they don't want to do it. And so, well, it's a little confusing. And, you know, in the text there, I just told, no, it's clear. The commandments of the Lord, folks, they are clear. And they are simple. And they're forthright. And what do they do? When you get those clear commandments, what does it do for you? Enlightens the eyes. Now, what does that mean? Throw your glasses away and you can see better. You guys look pretty good now. I tell you what. No, that's not what it means. What does it mean? It makes it clear and plain, doesn't it? It enlightens the eye. The eyes that were dull and you couldn't understand and you can't make it. Oh, it's clear. It's clear. Now, folks, there are things in your life that you just know are clear. I mean, you just don't have any doubt about it. Now, the whole world may be saying it's not right, and the whole world may be going off the wall, but the Bible is clear about it. It's clear. The commandments of the Lord, folks, they are pure, and they will enlighten the eyes. So it's complete, it's certain, it's correct, it's clear. Let me give you one more, or two more. It is clean. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Now, what is the fear of the Lord? Well, that's the reverence. That's the worship. That's knowing who God is and having a right respect and reverence for Him. And this is what He calls the Word of God. And He said, look, the fear of the Lord, it is clean. It is, there's no filth and impurity. And the Word of God says in Proverbs 12:6, the words of the Lord are words, are pure words. There is silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. There's no misrepresentation of who God is or man or Satan. All of those things are clear. They're clean. There's no misstatements. And He says they endure forever. Isn't that what's true? If you tell the truth, you know it's going to endure, don't you? The Bible is true. It's right. It's clean. There's no fault in it. And because of that, it is enduring for all time. I like that song. The Bible stands though the earth may crumble. It will firmly stand when the hills may tumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation. Why? Because the Bible stands. The Bible stands. There's one more, and that's verse 9, the second part. It says the judgments of the Lord are true. They're true and they're righteous. Altogether. Of course, God is the judge of the earth, the verdicts of God. You've got the verdicts of God, the judge, are right here in your hand, and they are true. The scriptures cannot be broken. Now, folks, you have got a book that is complete, it's certain, it's correct, it's clear, it's clean, it's certified to be the truth. You've got it in your hand. Hallelujah. You ought to be rejoicing this morning in the book that God has given you. The testimonies, the judgments, the fear, all of the things that are here in this word. Folks, they will enlighten your eyes. They'll make you wise. They'll put you on a right path and bring rejoicing to your life. It's all found in the book. This is the character of the book that you hold. Do you have a Bible? Hold it up for me. This is it, folks. This is the book we're talking about. And you've got one in your hand. Or you've got a cell phone that's got it in it, or an iPad, or whatever. All right, good. Yeah, I always feel awkward because I use an iPad in the services so I can take notes and flip back and forth between the scripture. And I always feel bad when pastors hold up your Bible, and I'm thinking, well, okay, here it is. but what an amazing thought to know that God has given you. God loved you so much that He gave you this book. So there's the record of the Bible's sufficiency. Now let's look at the rest of the chapter. The results of the Bible's sufficiency, and this is great stuff. All right, if the Bible is as we described it, so what? So what? Verse 10. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Now, I know we're living in a different day, but in that day, what was the most important thing? What was the most precious metal? Well, it was gold. Now it's probably something else, I'm sure, but in that day it was gold. And he said, I want to remember that the Word of God, this book he's described, it is more precious than gold. I wonder if someone came to us today and said, Larry, I'm going to give you $1 million. All you have to do is give up your Bible. Just give up any copies of your Bible. If you've got it on your cell phone, you've got to take it off. It's on your iPad, you've got to take it off. On your computer, take it off. You'll have no access. You can't watch TV or anything else that has a Bible. You can't even think about the Bible anymore, but I'll give you $1 million. What would you do? Yeah. At least you're honest. I appreciate that. Okay. He said it's more to be desired than gold. And look, he goes on and he says, sweeter also than the honey. And now I'll be honest with you, this illustration is not very good because I don't like honey. But for those that do, this is the sweetest thing, the most precious thing, this food, this thing that brings pleasure to your palate and to your body. He said it's greater than that. And he says, moreover, by them as thy servant warned, the word of God, and I've got points for all this, but I'm kind of hurrying to get through it here. Moreover, by them as thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there's great reward. He said, look, this book, it is precious, and oh, it is important, and it will cleanse you, and it'll keep you from sin, it'll give you the right path. He said, you'll do all of these things. And he says, verse 12, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. You say, what does that have to do with the Bible? Oh, that's what the Bible does. It'll cleanse you. It'll help you to see what you ought to do and what you ought not do. In Hebrews, he said it's like that knife, that dagger that goes to the inner man, and it will convict you in the deepest part of your life. That's what the Bible does, to keep you pure, to keep you clean. He says the Bible is the greatest possession, the greatest pleasure, the greatest protection. In verse 11, we've already read that, the greatest profit. And in keeping of them, there is what? Great reward. Great reward. When you decide to keep the Word of God. And then, of course, in verse 12 and 13, I've already read, it brings great purification. It'll keep you clean. Give me a verse to back that up. That the Word of God will keep you clean and pure. Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy Word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against God. John chapter 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Set them apart from sin. Thy word is truth. This book will do it. And then look how he ends. He said, let the words of my mouth, things I say, the meditation of my heart, the things I think about, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. How is that possible? Wouldn't you like that? For every thought you think, God to say, I like that. Every word you say, God to say, I like that. Boy, that was a great thing to say. Boy, I like what you said. I like what you were thinking. Now, that's the psalmist's prayer. To go through life and God to say, mm-hmm, that's good. Yep, that's good. Like that. Wonderful. Good. How's that possible? What's the whole context? You say, I'd like to have my thoughts be thoughts that God approves of. How do you do that? Well, you get in the Word of God, and you meditate on the Word of God, and you think about the Word of God. And the more you get in it, the more you think about it, the more you meditate on it, the more you think like God. And when you're thinking like God, what are you going to say? You're going to say the things that God would approve of. Because you're being controlled by the Spirit of God and the Word of God. This week in Bible school, there were several times that I would love to go back and say something different. I really would. There were a couple times that I would love to be able to go back and respond a little bit differently than the way I did. There were many times in my life that I wish I'd go back and do something a whole lot differently. And we could all say that. But I can't change the past. Can't do it. But you can change the future. Now, God has given us a book that is sufficient for every need that we have. Sufficient. You say, I need direction. Get in the book. I need conviction. Get in the book. I need sanctification. Get in the book. It's here. It's here. Now, I know many of you read God's Word every day. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Isn't it amazing to think that God has done so much to inspire His Word and preserve His Word so you can hold it in your hands in 2018, July the 1st? Hard to believe, isn't it? And yet we as believers don't even read it. Remember, my dad used to tell us old illustration, and you'll tell it's very dated. Pastor was coming to visit in the home, and the mother said, go get that book that Mama loves so much. And her son went and grabbed the Sears and Roebuck catalog. This is the only book that's true. You ever think about that? Every book that man has written has error. But this is written by God. And it's perfect. And you can rely on it. And God loved you so much, and He loved me so much, that He inspired 40 men over 1,500 years to write it down. And He's preserved it for us today. Now, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. And then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And then thou shalt have good success. And that's next week's verse, Joshua 1:8. Get in the book. Get in the book. All right? Lord, how we praise You for Your word today. Oh God, help us to realize the greatness of the Word of God. And help us to be believers who read it and meditate on it and live by it. God, help us to take it and use it for what it can be used for. Change our lives by Your word, we pray. And for those who are struggling, spending time in the Word, I pray that today they would take time by themselves and get in the Word of God and let You speak to them through Your Word. And then Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and then back together again next Sunday, God, help us to be people of the book, people of the Word, people who love it, people who read it, people who memorize it, meditate on it, and master it. Oh, God, help us, I pray, to understand what this book is and to take it and apply it to our lives every day, we pray, so that we can be people whose thoughts are pleasing to You, people whose words are pleasing to You, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, folks.